Morning. Are we on? Are we good? I can't tell. Is it good? Is it on? It's working? All right. Hey, all right. It's my first day. You know, when you're starting a new job, like, it's my first day. I don't know how this stuff works. My name is Zach Tharp. We've been here this weekend representing the Redeemer Network, and we are currently in a tiny town, small town, Central Texas, Brady. Anybody ever heard of Brady? It's okay if you haven't. Most people live there, haven't heard of it, and they live there. Okay. All right. So we're in Brady right now. Brady's about 5,000 people. I've been sharing with people here. I grew up in Hawley, right outside of Abilene, and Hawley's about 600 people. So again, coming to Dalhart, like with 7,000 or more people, this is like being in Dallas to me. So like, this has been incredible to see like multiple businesses and more than one like stoplight, things like that. We have absolutely loved our time here. I want to first share with you how encouraging it has been for me to be with your church this weekend. It has been an absolute joy, and it has thrilled my heart to be here. So many things. I had a pastor mentor of mine tell me years ago that every church deserves to have a happy pastor. You guys have two of them, and most churches don't even get one. So Matt and Will, for the work that you guys are doing, have continued to do, man, you guys are a blessing to the church. Thank you for how you have shepherded and are loving and serving this church. You guys are a joy, have been a joy to be around. There are so many wonderful things that are happening in the life of this church that we've gotten to learn about. As I walk in here, I've pointed out multiple times earlier, just seeing the flags represented in here. Liberty Baptist, it is clear, has had a strong connection to and commitment to international missions for years and years and years. And that is something to be celebrated. And not every church has that same commitment to missions like you guys have. And so I just want to encourage you in that and honor you in that. We got to meet with some men yesterday, Frank and Lynn and Dustin and Jamie. It was a joy to get to be with those guys and hear about what you guys are doing in men's ministry. We heard stories about 20 to 30 guys showing up on Wednesday mornings for Bible studies and sharing that kind of time together. That is huge. It is a hard thing in most churches and most towns to get men to come to church at all. But then if you're asking them, hey, not just on Sunday morning, but let's come study the Bible together. Let's start meeting together for discipleship. That is encouraging. And so I just want you to know, like, the Lord is blessing this place. You may already know that, but we travel around, we get to visit other churches, and they are struggling in those areas. And there are just some ways that the Lord is blessing you guys right now. And I just want to like let you know, it has been so encouraging for us to be here. So thank you so much for having us. So my name is Zach Tharp. We live in Brady right now. We're with we've done a church planting residency with Redeemer Church there, and we are in the process of moving to Brownwood to plant another gospel-centered missional church in Brownwood. I was in ministry for about 10 years prior before coming into the Redeemer Network. I worked in two different Baptist churches, First Baptist of Bangs near Brownwood, and then served as senior pastor of First Baptist of Alice near Corpus Christi. I attended two different Baptist universities, East Texas Baptist and Howard Payne University, and started to pursue a Master of Divinity through Southern Baptist Seminary. I'm well acquainted with the Baptist world. I love Baptist churches. I love Baptist organizations and seminaries. That who has poured their life and real dollars into me and has trained me and equipped me. And so I just want to share with you that's my experience. And I've had wonderful experiences in the Baptist church and in Baptist organizations. Coming here to a church like this, this feels like coming home to me. You guys don't know me, but I just want to let you know, you feel like family to me. And so we're in Brady right now, preparing to plant in Brownwood. And so that's a little bit of our story. I'll share more as we kind of go throughout the sermon. If you have a Bible, you can turn it to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we will be starting in verse 10. Philippians chapter 4, and starting in verse 10, and we'll look at verses 10 through 20. So this is Paul writing to the church at Philippi. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. As you come into church today, I was thinking about the types of people who might be here. And if you were to share or think about just in your mind, what is the biggest anxiety you walked into these doors with? What is it going on in your life that you're concerned about? What brings you worry? What at times can make you fearful or afraid? We live in a world where fear and anxiety is constantly pushed on us. That could be anything from financial insecurity, job uncertainty. It could be family pressures, or it could just be the barrage of news where we have access to these terrible things that happen around the world 24 hours a day that can weigh us down at times. We wonder what's going to happen next. So as you walk in here, what are the biggest anxieties and worries or fears that you came in here with? I can share with you that as we've been on this 3-year journey preparing to plant a church, if I don't fix my eyes on Jesus, it is easy for me to fall into anxiety and fear and worry and doubt, to doubt that God will provide, to doubt that people are gonna wanna go with us as we prepare to plant a church, to doubt that we're gonna have the financial resources necessary to make these things happen, and that it will just be a long, hard journey and eventually it'll just lead to failure. If I don't fix my eyes on Jesus in our fallen condition, in my fallen and sinful condition, that's what I can naturally revert to. For churches like you, churches who support international missionaries, have for decades, and support multiple missionaries across the world, it could be easy for a church like this to begin to worry about finances. Can we still support these families? Should we still be supporting these families? What if there are many churches that have the mindset of, well, if we send our money out to support others, what if we don't have enough for ourselves? What if our church closes? What if we have to let staff go? What if we can't make it because we're sending too much out? These are the fears that can grip both church planters and missionaries in the going and even churches that support them. But in light of these things, in light of these fears on both sides, Paul brings to our attention a different mindset and a different perspective. I want to share with you three biblical truths today that Paul shares with us, God sharing through his word through Paul, three biblical truths that should encourage both church planters and missionaries who are being sent and the churches like you who are sending, praying, encouraging, and supporting church planters and or missionaries. The first one would be this. He's going to talk about that true contentment is found in Christ. Then he's going to let us know that the gospel invites us into kingdom partnership. And then finally, we'll look at how God is faithful to provide every need, both for the church planter, the missionary, and for that sending church. Let's begin by looking at Paul's testimony of contentment in Christ. This is a contentment that stands in stark contrast to the anxiety we often feel about our own circumstances. Point number one, the gospel leads us to contentment no matter our circumstances. Look with me back at the text. Paul says in Philippians 4 verse 10, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you've revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Then he says, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Does it strike you as odd that Paul would say he's not talking about being in need? Does that sound normal? It sounds odd to me that Paul would make sure and let them know, I'm not saying that I'm in need. I've learned how to be content. That strikes me as odd because Paul is writing this letter from prison. And he's saying that he's not in physical need. What would some of the needs he would have actually been experiencing at that time while he was in prison? He would have been in need of basic necessities like food and drink. These are not necessarily things that might have been provided by the prison itself. It's not like prison in our days. The prisoners in these days would have been dependent on other people for financial support, would have been dependent on people bringing them things like clothes, food, drink, things like that. Medical care, wouldn't have had access to medical care. His health would have been an issue. How about a need for freedom and comfort? If you've ever gone and visited somebody in prison, been in prison yourself, you know there's not a lot of freedom or comfort in prison. I would think that would be a need. About personal companionship or a friend, security, protection. To me, these are all things that would be great needs if I found myself in Paul's situation. Now, I can imagine a situation where somebody might say that they're not in need, and so I was imagining being up here in Dalhart, and like, let's imagine we have a wealthy friend, and they just like live their life on the beach. But then I thought, you know what? The beach is too far away from Dalhart. I think it's like 10 hours to Corpus Christi. Is that right? So like, let's do the mountains. Let's say like, anybody ever been to like Telluride, Colorado? I have not, but I've heard about it. And I was looking up pictures this week. Like, it is beautiful. It's amazing. It's like, it just looks fantastic. I've never been, but it looks awesome. And so I was thinking, you know, if I had a friend that lived up there and I'm asking him a letter about how he's doing, and he's just, imagine he's retired and wealthy and all he does is like ski and like sit in a hot tub and drink hot chocolate every day. Like, I can imagine getting a letter from that guy saying, hey, I'm not in need. I can imagine that. But Paul in prison, potentially chained to a Roman prison guard as he writes this letter, Paul says, I'm not talking about being in physical need. He says, I've learned the secret of being content, no matter whether I'm hungry or well-fed, no matter whether I have little or I have a lot. He's able to be content in every situation because of Christ who gives him strength. Too often we look at Philippians 4:13 as a passage for selfish ambition. We say, I can do anything I set my mind to because Jesus is with me. And that's really a wrong interpretation of this passage because Paul is not talking about that. Paul's talking about living and being content no matter where he is, no matter the situation. But often, I'm thinking about Tim Tebow from years ago with the Florida Gators. He used to wear this eye black. And it would say Philippians 4:13 on the eye black. Now, as a Christian, I love that. I love the message he's sending, and people are going to maybe turn to the Bible and read that. I love it. But if you were to like Google Philippians 4:13 and see what shows up, I did this. One of them is like a guy hanging from the cliff of a mountain with like no gear. And he's like hanging by one hand. And it just says, I can do all things through Christ. And I just don't think that's what Paul was talking about, that you can overcome this mountain climb with no gear. Like, you're about to fall to your death. Like, no, get some gear. Like, go down. Like, get some help. I don't think it's meant for us to jump out of a plane and try to skydive without a parachute, just going, Philippians 4:13. I don't think that's what he's talking about. He's talking about being content no matter our circumstances. So what are the circumstances you find yourself in today as you sit here? What was the biggest anxiety you came in with? What was the biggest fear you came in with? The biggest worry you came in with? Whatever need it is, whether it's financial, relational, emotional, physical. Now, don't get me wrong. These are real needs. We have real needs, and there are real things that cause us fear in our life. But Paul, by the grace of God, had brought him to a place where he could be in a Roman prison and write back to the church at Philippi, thank you so much for your gift. Thank you for reviving your concern for me. But I'm just letting you know, man, I don't have any physical needs. I'm not just writing so that you'll send me some help. I'm grateful for the help, but man, I'm content no matter where I am. And when we face trials and we feel like we are lacking, we can remember that Christ's strength is sufficient for us, just as it was sufficient for Paul in his prison cell. Our sufficiency is not in having everything we want or need, but in knowing that Christ is with us and will provide all that we truly need. Let's look back at the text, picking up in verse 14. So he says he's content, but he's not talking about being in physical need, but he does acknowledge the gift. He says, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So we see that true contentment is found in Christ. And our second point today, our second biblical truth that we see here, the gospel moves us towards kingdom partnerships. The gospel moves us toward kingdom partnerships. There are many people today who set out and try to plant a church, to start a new church in a new area. There are plenty of missionaries who try to get overseas, and they try to do these things like a lone ranger. They try to like, I'm gonna do this myself. I don't need any help. I don't need any support. I'm gonna make it happen. And man, if that is not a, I'll say this, that is an American mindset, because what do we, like, what did America do? We broke away from some people we didn't want to be a part of. And then in America, we're establishing churches and even Baptist churches. We're the church world that was all together. Then we have the Reformation. Protestants say, man, we're not going to be a part of this. We want to read the Bible for ourselves. This is how we believe God saves. So we break away. And so these are some of the mentalities we have here in America. But we're not just Americans, right? We're Texans, or if you're from New Mexico, you're New Mexicans. I know we're all kind of like where things cross, but like we got state pride, we got pride in our country, we got pride in our religious tradition. But then the Baptist churches are going a certain way, like any of them, they all kind of split off and start going, we don't agree with this. So like you get more pride, like okay, I'm kind of going this way. There's so much pride built into these things, country pride, state pride, part of the Texas we live in, because we know Texas is huge and it's like five different states, because people in the panhandle are not like people in Dallas, amen, or Austin, amen, or Houston, amen. Yeah, you're here for a reason. This is God's country. God put you here. We are panhandle people. Come, Lord Jesus, right? Yeah, we're not moving to Austin. No, they can be there. We're not going there. So there's a lot of stuff in us, whether we realize it or not, that if we felt called to go be a missionary, called to go plant a church, man, I'm gonna do this myself. This is the Western Texas culture. This is cowboy culture. This is panhandle culture. This is farming by God culture, right? Like this is, hey, I'm gonna do this myself. But we look at Paul. Paul did not try to do this himself. The gospel, the way Jesus did ministry, he didn't do it himself. He called disciples to follow him. And then he sent those disciples out. And Paul, you look at Acts. Acts is all about these guys going around, starting new churches, getting them going, establishing elders, moving on to the next place, establishing a church, moving on, establishing a church, writing letters back to encourage the church. The church is supporting these teams that are starting these churches. There is collaboration. I like it how Justin said it Friday night, if you weren't here. Justin talked about how churches should not be in competition with each other, but there should be mutual collaboration. And that's what you see in Acts, and that's what you see with Paul and the church at Philippi as he's writing back to them. There is collaboration. They are supporting Paul in his journey. Paul is able to work and minister because of the support he's receiving. He did not try to go out like a lone ranger and do everything himself. He needed support. And the gospel today, it moves us to kingdom partnerships. Again, you need only to look at the flags around this room or those dots on the map back there. Liberty Baptist Church has a wonderful history of kingdom partnerships, sending people out to do missions across the world, partnering with people, supporting them, praying for them, sending them, encouraging them. This is vital. This is vital in the life of a church. You know, when we came in to the Redeemer Network about 3 years ago, I shared this with the Sunday school group earlier. I'll be 42 next week. But when we felt God calling us to move to Brownwood to plant a church and to move to Brady to work with that church to prepare to plant, what the church asked me to do was to not work full time and to pursue raising all of the money that we would need for a couple of years so that I could be with the team at the church every day of the week. They said, Zach, if we're gonna send you out to go plant a church in your time of preparing over 2 or 3 years, we want you to be here as often as you can. And if you're working a full-time job, you're not gonna be able to learn from us. This was the scariest thing I'd ever been presented with. I've been married for 13 years at that point. We had 2 kids, and the prospect of not working a full-time job sounded as crazy to me as it sounds to you right now. You cannot imagine not working. We are Texans, we are Americans, we are Baptists. This is what we do. We work, right? This is what we do. But I prayed about it, and I felt the Lord calling me to do that. And so I began to meet with churches, to meet with families, to share the vision for us planting in Brownwood, and to say, hey, I've got to spend a couple of years with this church before we go plant, and we are raising financial support so that I can be here to listen, learn, observe life in a healthy church. Healthy eldership, healthy leadership, staff, how the church functions, everything. I've gotten to be a part of it for 3 years. I have not been able to do it myself, but I have been able to be there because there are churches and individuals and families who have given to support us each month, allowing me to be there in that role. I could not have done that myself. That is something that God did. William Carey, often referred to as the father of modern missions, before he embarked on his missionary journey to India, he told his friend Andrew Fuller, he said, I will go into the pit if you will hold the rope. And that's what happens with missionaries and with church planters. Man, we're the ones God is sending to go do the work in that place. But equally as important, and it's really important that you hear me say this, equally as important as the missionaries across the world, equally as important as the work of planting churches in new places, is that there are churches behind them, supporting them, praying for them, encouraging them, sending them help, sending them people, connecting them with people who are there. This work is shared. It's shared by the church. And it's shared by the church planter and the church planter's family and the families going with them. It is just important for us to have people praying for us as it is for us to actually go to Brownwood and seek to start a church. Why do we do this? Why do churches partner with missionaries? Why do churches partner and support people who are sent to plant new churches? It's because the gospel compels us to do so. If you were here Friday night and you heard Justin talk about missions, where does it come from? Missions comes from the gospel. God sent his best to us in Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, who died a death that we deserved. And in this scandalous transaction, Jesus receives our punishment. And we receive good standing with God, not just the forgiveness of sins. If it was only the forgiveness of sins, that would be awesome. Sign all of us up. But God is so amazing that he doesn't just forgive us of our sins, but he saves us. He says, your sins are forgiven. And now when I look at you, I look at you like I look at Jesus. I bring you in as a son into my family. I bring you in as a daughter into my family. And we are, the word would tell us that we are now seated in the heavenlies with Christ. We saw a baptism earlier, buried with him by baptism into death, raised to walk in the newness of life. Corinthians would say that if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Galatians would say it that way. The old has passed away. The new is here. You're a new creation in Christ. Why do we partner with missionaries? Why do we partner with church planters? Because the gospel compels us to do so, because God sent his best in Jesus Christ for us. And now we work together to see the mission of God continue in the panhandle and in beyond and throughout Texas and in this region and across the world, just as that map illustrates over there. That's why churches and church planters and missionaries partner together. And we are united in Christ when we do this. But what can happen at times is a church can turn all of their concerns and all of their worry inward. And we're just going to worry about the people in these four walls. And we're just going to worry about where God has us. Now, I can tell you that Liberty is not a church that's like that because of your commitment to missionary support. But I'm here and I want to challenge you today. I see where you're supporting and sending out missionaries and encouraging them and praying for them. But y'all, we believe that God wants to continue to do amazing work here in the Panhandle, in Dalhart, and these surrounding communities. We believe that God wants to plant more churches in the Panhandle. And we believe that Liberty can be on the front end of that, be a catalyst for that. Because of the leadership you have, because of the commitment to God's mission that you have, this church could catalyze a church planting movement here in the Panhandle that's unlike anything that's ever happened here. And if you don't think it can happen, you're not thinking highly enough about what God can do. Whatever you're thinking God can do, he can do more. Ephesians 3:20 says, to the God who can do immeasurably more than we can think, ask, or imagine. So whatever you're thinking or asking or imagining, just hear me, God wants to do more. And he wants you to be a part of it. He wants you to be a part of it. I was sharing with a group earlier today, our call to Brownwood came 3 years ago. We felt like God was calling us to go there and plant a church. We had a wonderful question in Sunday school. I can't remember who asked it, but we had wonderful questions. And they said, how did you decide to go to Brownwood? Or why Brownwood? Are there not healthy churches in Brownwood? And the answer is that yes, there are healthy churches in Brownwood. Praise God. God's been moving in Brownwood long before we're going to get there. He's going to move long after we're gone. But here is the need. Though there are healthy churches in Brownwood, a town of about 25,000 people, in Brown County, there are 40,000 people in the county. And on a Sunday just like today, just like you came here to church, on a Sunday just like today, 33,000 people out of the 40,000 are not in a church of any kind. So are there healthy churches in Brownwood? Yes. Are there enough healthy churches to reach the need? Absolutely not. We're not hoping to be the only church plant coming to Brownwood. We're praying for God to send hundreds of churches to be planted in Brownwood over the coming decades. And if you think hundreds sounds crazy, it's not. Because if you take that 33,000 people who aren't in a church anywhere, and you just planted churches of 200 out of that, you would need 185 new churches just to reach that need. One church, we're hoping to come and make a small dent in that number and to partner with gospel-centered, Bible-believing, missional churches who are there, but we're not coming to do all the work. We're not coming because we think we have a new way or a better way. If God had called me to go serve at First Baptist in Brownwood, I absolutely would. If God had called me to go serve at any other denomination of a church, I absolutely would. But he's joined us with the Redeemer Network. He's called us to go plant, and that's why we're going. That's a little bit about the need in Brownwood. The gospel compels us to go forward and to partner, seek out kingdom partnerships, because we're united in Christ, and that's what we see modeled for us here in Philippians and throughout the New Testament. We finish by looking at verses 19 and 20. Paul says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." The third and final biblical truth we see here in this passage, the gospel gives us hope in God's continued provision. It gives us hope in God's continued provision. Because I can share with you some of the anxieties and the fears that I have has been, what if this provision runs out? What if people stop giving? What if churches stop supporting us? And I can tell you on the other side, there are going to be churches that are anxious. What if we give, but it hurts our church? What if we give to so many missionaries and church planters that it puts us in a bind? It could be easy on either side of that equation to become fearful. But that's where we must fix our eyes on Jesus and look back here, because Paul says, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." He says, you don't have to be afraid of provision failing, because if you are doing God's work, God is going to supply it. Hudson Taylor, one of the most influential Christian missionaries in history, best known for his pioneering work in China, said this: "When God's work is done in God's way for God's glory, it will not lack God's supply." Amen. God is going to supply all of your church's needs, or any church's needs, if they are committed to seeing his mission go forth. It's like Paul is saying, you met my need, my one need, and now my God is going to supply all of your needs. You met the one need that I have, he's going to meet all your needs. He says, you gave out of your poverty, but my God is going to blow you away, and he is going to supply your needs out of his riches in Christ Jesus. It's a promise. It's not that he might do it. It's not that he could do it. It's that he will. My God will supply. Isn't that the testimony of your life? That God has taken care of you in and out of every season of your life? Hardship, job change, family struggles. That God has been there with you? That he has brought you to where you are today? That he's moved you to a place like Paul where you can say, no matter my external circumstances, I have internal joy because Jesus Christ died for me and I believe in him. And now it doesn't matter what the world throws at me, I am content in Christ. Isn't it the Lord who has brought you to that place? That's where he's brought me. Man, before we got on this church planting journey, just if I can be a little bit worldly with you for a minute, a little bit materialistic, before I was called to church planting, I was in a job where I was making the most money I'd ever made in my life. Now, if I shared the amount with you, you might be like, well, that's not very much money. But to me, it was, just to let you know, it was the most money I'd ever made in my life. My family, for the first time ever, had something called insurance. You know what it is. You probably have it. We had never had it. We had a great job, great salary, insurance, benefits, all of it. And God said, Zach, I want you to leave all that behind to pursue starting a new church. We had to walk away from all of it. I didn't do it easily. I was terrified. I was a little bit angry, like, oh, we had just gotten, you feel like you're working up the mountain. We had just gotten here and comfortable. But God didn't want us to be comfortable. He didn't care if you're comfortable. He didn't care if I'm comfortable. So I leave this job, making the most money I've ever had, benefits, everything, all insurance. And the next job I have that God supplies for me is to go work at Howard Payne University, which is in Brownwood, as an admissions counselor, making about $13 an hour. And it was a job, it was a great job, I loved it, but it's like, it's a job for kids that just graduated college, like it's a 22-year-old person's job. And I'm in there as a 38-year-old, and they're wondering, Zach, what are you doing here? You were at this church and doing these things, and like, God called me here. But I was happy. I loved that job. But I share that with you. This is a real world example of what God may call you to do. It's what he called me to do. And it doesn't matter how much money we make, if we have insurance, if we don't. God's always provided for us. We've been able to be content, whether we're up here salary-wise or whether God's going, hey, I want you to go work with a bunch of college kids for a couple of years making $13 an hour, and I'm going to take care of you. And he has. That's exactly what he's done. That is exactly what he has done. He has supplied all of our needs. And he will supply all of your needs as you continue to partner with missionaries. If you take this next step with the Redeemer Network and partner with church planters, if God has that for you, God's going to supply all of your needs. I want to close just by kind of sharing some things that I and a couple other guys are praying for, specifically about Dalhart, specifically about Liberty Baptist and the men and women and children and families here. These are some things that we're praying for. We're praying big things for you guys. One, it was that you guys would catch a vision for church planting in the Panhandle in Texas, maybe even here in Dalhart. Matt shared earlier, the population of this town, if you say it's 8,000 people, the population of people even in Dalhart that are in church this morning, we know it's a small percentage of the population that's actually here. That just shows you there's a great need for more churches, even in Dalhart, for this church to continue to work to bring people in to the kingdom. What we've heard multiple times is that there's a great need for another and more Spanish-speaking churches, gospel-centered, here in Dalhart. This is what we're praying for. We are praying that God would raise up a man and his family to start a new Spanish-speaking, gospel-centered, missional, multiplying church here in Dalhart. We're praying that God would stir hearts today. I was in a church just like this a number of years ago when God called me to church planting. I didn't know it was coming, but we're praying that there would be families in here that would be stirred, either to be sent out one day by this church to go plant a church, or to go be a core team family that's gonna help an existing church plant. I've already been praying for a number of weeks. God, out of this group that's here today, would you raise up a family to move and come to Brownwood with us to help start a church? Lord, they may not know where it is, or they may have connections here, but would you do what only you can do, and would you move someone there? And I'll share with you this. Dalhart has already in the works of like sending us some of their best people. One of the members of our core team is a sweet lady named Pam Brewer. Pam Brewer lived here about 30 years ago. Her husband passed away tragically in an accident. Pam Brewer is on our core team to help us go plant the church. And her daughter, Ashley Brewer, now Ashley Martin, she and her husband are big supporters and encouragers of us. I worked for her husband, Ben, at Howard Payne when I was in the admissions office. And so when they knew I was coming up here to Dalhart, they were extremely jealous. They wanted to come with me. They wish they could have. But it shows you it's a small Christian world out there. Like, we've already got people on our team who've been supporting us, loving us, going with us, who are from Dalhart. And they wanted me to make sure to anybody here who might know them, remember them. Man, they love you guys. They have such fond memories of their time here in Dalhart. And just wanted to show you the connection God's already doing from Dalhart to Brownwood. Third, we're praying that this church would be able to send families out one day to plant churches. Fourth, we're praying that God would cast a vision for more gospel-centered missional churches here, as we talked about. And I want to close by sharing this, that for those of you who live here, for those of you who are going to be here for the long run, would you begin, this is what we're praying, that each person here would begin to see Dalhart as their mission field. Those spots on the map over there are wonderful. It is wonderful to send people out across the world. But there are people living in Dalhart who are just as lost, just as separated from God as those people in those countries represented over there. And you are God's plan A to reach them. If we were to take every person in this room and kind of expand out your circle of influence, where do you work? Where do you live? Who are your neighbors? What teams are your kids playing sports on? Who do you know through the schools? Who do you know through other town community events? That would reach a whole lot of people. So where are the places you work every day, that you go to school every day, that you live every day, the people you're engaging with? Would you, if you don't already, would you begin? We're praying that God would open your heart to begin to see the people of Dalhart the same way that he sees them. And so it might mean when you go eat lunch at the Dust Bowl, which I did the other day, and it was fantastic. I've eaten at two places in Dalhart that are two of the best places I've eaten in my entire life, the Dust Bowl and the Grill, and I'm certain there'd be more, but like, just to let you know, this place is fantastic. I might come plant a church here. So back to that. Okay. It might mean like you go to the Dust Bowl and your waitress comes by to take your order, and likely you know who she is. And when she brings the food out, maybe it just starts with something easy like saying, "Hey, we're about to give thanks for our food and pray and give thanks for you serving us. Is there anything we could pray for you or your family about?" Maybe it could be something simple like that. You're already going to pray before your meal, most likely. Ask the waitress or the waiter, "Hey, can we pray for you?" I've been doing this for years. I've never had somebody get mad at me for asking if I could pray for them. I've had people say, "No, thank you," or "Everything's good." We still pray for them because I know not everything's good. We're sinners, right? Our hearts are wicked. I'm like, "Your heart's wicked. I'm going to pray for you." I don't tell them that though. But you can, like, this is how it could start. Or like you're checking out at the grocery store. Or you're at one of the many Toot and Totems that are here. I still got to hear the background of like where Toot and Totem gets its name. So somebody make sure to come tell me that before I leave. Maybe you're checking out. You're like, you go to get gas and you go in, and this is what I would encourage people. This kind of like some intentional evangelism. Man, I know it's so easy to go to a gas station, swipe your card and move on. I get it. I know it. But imagine this. Imagine if you picked one gas station that you always went to. You always went inside to pay so that you could intentionally talk to the person who's in there. Introduce yourself to them, get to know them. This is the panhandle. You're all great at talking to people. You're all conversational. You're all extroverted. Just take a little time to get to know people. There are a million things like this that you could do. But would you begin to see that the people here in Dalhart are your mission field, and you are God's missionary here in Dalhart because he sent you here, and you're here, and you're part of a local church. And now it's just, how do we engage the people who are here? So as we wrap up, we remember the truths that we saw from Scripture today. We see that true contentment doesn't come from our circumstances. It comes from Christ's sufficiency. Christ is enough for us. We see that this contentment isn't just for individuals, but it's for kingdom partnerships. The gospel compels us to seek out kingdom partnerships. And we see that thirdly, as we step out in faith, that God will supply all of our needs. So I challenge you today, would you embrace contentment in Christ? Would you be on the lookout for kingdom partnerships where God is calling you to come alongside and support and encourage someone? And third, would you, no matter whether you're called to go or to hold the rope and sin, would you remember that God is going to meet all of your needs in Christ? Let's go knowing that we are never alone and that in him we have all that we need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for your word. God, your word is true. Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for Jesus Christ who died for our sins. We thank you, God, for how you have brought us into your family, how you've adopted us in as sons and daughters, and the rights that you give us, the benefits you give us. You lavish your love upon us, Father, and we are grateful for it. We can't work for it. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. It is an act of grace from you, and we just receive it. We thank you, Lord, that you have saved us. God, I thank you for Liberty Baptist Church and for the strong history they have of sending out international missionaries and supporting them. I thank you, God, they've already been involved in supporting church planters with JR at City Light in Amarillo. God, I pray that you would use Liberty Baptist in a huge way, a catalytic way over the years and the decades ahead to catalyze a church planting movement here in the Panhandle and in Dalhart and beyond. Lord, would this church raise up church planters and send them out, more international missionaries and send them out, families to go to existing church plants and join other churches. Lord, as a representation of you and what can be accomplished when we are working for your will, for your glory, God, would you bless this church? They've been a blessing to us. We give thanks in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.